The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Does someone clicking a pen, twiddling their thumbs or jiggling their thighs drive you a bit mad? Or do you find listening to other people's noises like heavy breathing and loud eating, do you find that difficult? Well, it may be linked to one of two conditions. You might have heard of misophonia, an intense dislike of other people's noises, but you may not have heard of misokinesia, a diagnosable hatred of fidgeting. Now, to talk about these two conditions a bit more, we're joined by Dr. Jane Gregory, clinical psychologist at Oxford University and author of the book Sounds Like Misphonia, How to Stop Small Noises from Causing Extreme Reactions. Jane, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, the first thing is misphonia, in which you are obviously an expert. Is there much of misphonia about?
It is actually surprisingly common. So in the UK, nearly one in five people have some form of misophonia where they get this intense emotional reaction to those sort of repetitive sounds, especially sounds that other people make, like eating and breathing and sort of tapping their fingers, that kind of noise. It's surprisingly common.
Surprisingly common. And is there therefore a treatment or cure?
Well, we're working on that. I don't think there's really a cure, because it's part of it is just sort of natural variation in how people respond to sounds. So some people just can't filter out these sounds and will always be really bothered by them. But we can do some techniques that can help us to reduce the intensity of that reaction, so we don't get that kind of fight or flight response to those sounds.
So that reaction, you say fight or flight, is it so extreme that they literally would have to leave the room?
For a lot of people with misophonia, yeah, they have to leave the room, and that reaction just doesn't go away until they're away from the sound. And it really does feel like they're in danger or being harmed by the sound in some way.
And yet people can live right beside a railway track, and after they've spent a week or two there, they no longer hear the trains.
That's right. Yeah, that's the remarkable thing, is that it seems to be a little bit different from just getting used to those kinds of sounds. So when people live next to a railway track or under a flight path, what happens is that they're still processing the sounds, but they don't notice it anymore. But what happens with misophonia is that you just keep noticing it. So you keep getting that same reaction every time, and you never get used to the sound.
And so it's a trigger, in other words, and it never fails to trigger.
That's right. Yeah, it just continues to cause that same intense reaction. Although sometimes it does change according to the context. So we know that the way you process the meaning of the sound matters. So it might change depending on who's making the sound. Like some people will get an intense reaction if it's their partner, but then they discover it's their little kid making the sound or a dog making the sound, and it won't cause that same kind of reaction.
So if you have a baby who's emitting quiet little Zs in sleep, that's not a problem. But if the husband is emitting louder Zs in his sleep, that is a problem.
That's right. Yeah. And I, like, personally, if I hear the sound of my husband breathing, it makes me really annoyed and frustrated. And I kind of get that sort of tension. But when it was my kids, it was like, oh, good, they're still alive. They're still breathing. I can hear them breathing. It was almost like a relief to hear them breathing.
So you couldn't care less if your husband stops breathing, I take it.
Maybe there's some hidden meaning in that one.
Now, let's move on to misokinesia. And I mean, I've never heard the term before. When was it coined and when was it diagnosed?
So this is very, very newly recognised. The term misokinesia has sort of been around for maybe about 10 years, I think, but there's only been two research papers that have been published that are specifically about misokinesia, and that was in the last couple of years. So it's very, very new that we're just starting to understand this. And this is similar to misophonia, but with movement and repetitive action. So this is when you can't tune out somebody fidgeting or playing with their hair or even like a blinking light in your periphery. And same thing with as misophonia, you just can't filter it out. You can't get used to or ignore that movement.
So it may not even involve noise of any kind. As you say, someone wrapping their hair around their finger as a habit, that could drive someone in the office mad.
Yeah, that's right. And so for some people who have misophonia, they might be reacting to movement that is related to a sound that bothers them. So if they could see someone chewing but can't hear it, they might still get a reaction to the movement. With misokinesia, it's when the movement is not necessarily related to any kind of sound. So it could be across the room, someone's just scratching their beard for a long time or stroking their hair or tapping their fingers or something like that. And it doesn't have to be related to a sound.
Now, the question of how people might react, it's been suggested that violent images might come to their mind, and I don't know whether they are ever reported as acting on these violent impulses.
So that's a really important distinction. Yeah. So one of the things, because of the level of anger and rage that can come with these movements, people do often get a violent image in their head, but they do not act on them. It's more of like a conflict in their brain of like imagining something that they would never do. And that can actually add to the intensity of the reaction because they then feel awful about having these images.
So the fact that they have this image and don't do anything about it can make it worse. Because do you remember years ago they had a little device you could put on the dashboard of your car and you could press a button and it made a noise like a machine gun. So that if you saw someone doing something, misbehaving on the road in front of you, instead of getting road rage, you imagined you were machine gunning them. And it tended to relieve the stress.
The release of that, yeah. And we know that that's definitely the case, that when you suppress your reactions completely, it can make them more intense. So part of the process of sort of making your reactions less intense is just acknowledging, yep, I don't like it, I hate it, it makes me really angry, and just kind of describing that to yourself so that at least for yourself you're allowing yourself to have those feelings. Because if you try and shut them down, it can make it worse.
Now, there are some case studies I've been reading about on the BBC. A 62-year-old says she developed misphonia and misokinesia at 13, but wasn't recognized as a condition, watching a girl in her class picking at her nails, for example. And another thing that annoys her was someone partially covering their mouth while they are speaking, to the point that she kind of doesn't go to work or isolates herself because literally she finds it impossible not to spot these things which would irritate her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for some people, especially those movements like that are to do with sort of grooming behavior, where it can kind of create a bit of a disgust or revulsion kind of feeling. And so for some people, that actually makes them feel physically sick. They feel nauseous in the stomach and might even feel like they would throw up. And so it makes it really hard to function in a normal office environment because they're actually feeling sick a lot of the time because of all the movement and sounds that go on in the office.
Now, are we looking for some sort of primeval logic to why some people react in this way?
To me, that makes sense, that for group survival of humans, that some of us would tune into these sort of subtle signs that could be a sign of danger. So like with movement, like a rustle in the grass that could be a deadly snake, or a scurrying of a spider, or footsteps behind you that could be someone coming to harm you. So to me, it makes sense that some of us would tune into that and not ignore it just in case it was a sign of danger. But now, of course, in modern life, we don't need to be looking out quite that intensely for those sort of signs of danger. And the problem with misophonia and misokinesia is that you can't switch it off again. Even when you know it's safe, you know rationally it's not anything harmful, you just can't switch it off.
Other examples, this is Julie, 54, from Hull, says there was a lady walking by, she was on the bus, and this lady, her arms were swinging. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I was getting really anxious looking at the lady swinging her arms, not angry, but anxious. And she says silly things like someone making me a cup of tea, and they get the tea bag and they bounce it up and down. And she gets annoyed about that. Why are they doing that? So it's extraordinary the little things that can annoy people. So the treatment, do you know the way with peanut allergy nowadays they talk about introducing microscopic amounts of peanut into the diet of a child in the hope of building up some sort of tolerance? I mean, is there any way that you can get tolerance to your triggers in misokinesia?
So there are we're testing out some ways to try and build tolerance. And it's not so much like that. A lot, the instinct, especially in psychology, is to sort of like, well, if you just stay in the situation, eventually you'll get used to it. And actually for these two conditions, that often makes it worse because of the anger reaction and that disgust reaction. The more you're in the situation, the more intense the emotions get. So what we do instead is we try and change the way that you interact with these sounds or movements so that you're showing your brain that it's not harmful. So that might mean sort of playing around with the sound, sort of being in control of the sound, doing something silly with the sound, or imagining that it's coming from something else that wouldn't bother you as much. So imagining it is a little baby or a cute puppy making the noise or something like that, and really show your brain that this isn't harmful. Even if it's annoying, it's not a harmful sound.
Okay, but I'm wondering, you know, if you put someone with mesokinesia in a room full of twitchers where everyone's twitching, would that help?
I don't think so. I think that would just be too distressing and traumatic for the person. And that, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people's families try to do, is do it deliberately to try and make them get used to it. And actually what people are saying is that that just makes things
The other alternative is have the war of the twitchers. You know, if someone in the office is clicking their pen like I'm clicking now, you click back and see, does it make them stop?
Well, surprisingly, that is something that people do and can work, is if you get involved in the sound, it's almost like a way of sort of telling your brain and body that it's allowed. Like if you're making the sound, then it's permissible for other people to make the sound, and it can bring the intensity of the reaction down. It can also just make you feel a bit more in control, which
It might also annoy the other person to the point that they recognize this is an irritating sound and I must stop.
Possibly, although most people don't recognize that what they're doing is annoying. They just, and that's part of the problem. That's why it's so misunderstood, I think, is because other people are just doing habits that they don't even realize are having this impact on people.
Dr. Jane Gregory, clinical psychologist at Oxford University and author of the book Sounds Like Misphonia: How to Stop Small Noises from Causing Extreme Reactions. Jane, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.